rest with which the weary rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I sense a broken heart today. So does God. That's why the tenderness is here. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. I bless your name. You are the healer. You are the healer. Thank you, Father. Bless your name today. My mama passed away on the 13th of April, 1989. I met Kitty the next very following February. And other than my soiree in prison, we've been together ever since.
Amen.
But for quite a long time, whenever the month of March rolled around, I catch myself being short, snappy a little bit. Never dawned on me why. And then, you know, Kitty would tell me, like, man, dude. And like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And I didn't realize why I was irritable. I don't get irritable often. It takes a lot to do that to me. And after a few years of it in a row, it just dawned on me one day that April was coming. And even though I wasn't consciously thinking about the fact that I didn't have my mother anymore, that in my heart, my subconscious, it was bothering me. It was working its way up to the surface. So ever since I realized that, I've tried to find a way to not let anything negative come from it. Because at first, all I could feel and see and sense was a void. I mean, our mom was one of them throwback moms, like off the Waltons or something. I mean, she was involved in everything. She took care of everything. She was, you know, that cliche that's wore out about the glue. That's really what she was. I mean, made holidays were holidays because of all the work that she would put in. Back then, you know, I can remember for Thanksgiving getting up 4 a.m, cooking turkey all day. You know, the trouble that she would go through to prepare for a holiday meal the night before. And then all of a sudden, just one day, even though we knew that the day was coming because she was sick, just there was this hole. For the longest time, all I could focus on was the void. It was just this big hole. And then sometime later, after starting a relationship with God, the Lord gave me some guidance for that. And that was that there has to come a time where we move from mourning the void, the hole that's there now, the emptiness that's there now, the loss that's there now, that we have to move from mourning the void and somehow learn to celebrate the impact. Instead of focusing on the fact that that person is no longer here, that my mom was no longer here, and everything was different. Not just one or a couple, but everything was different and would always be different. But somehow I had to find a way to learn to celebrate the impact that she had on me. So when those things come now, and they do, early on, they were things that I dreaded. that things would come to remind me of her, and I would dread it because it would hurt so bad. And the mourning was so intense. And then after some time had passed, instead of dreading that, it turned into something that I was glad would happen. Because that meant that that love would never disappear. I had to learn how to celebrate the impact that she had on my life. And I discovered that the best way I could do that was in my relationship with my children. There was some way that I could carry on things, even though they would never know her. She was gone before they ever had a chance to meet her. There was still some way I could celebrate that impact. Now, I've been missing her the last few days. You think, can you miss somebody from 34 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you still miss somebody that passed away 15 years younger than you are now?
Oh,
yeah. When you love somebody that way and they love you, that's something that you'll carry with you all your life. And now I'm at a place where when I start missing her like that, though I don't let it push me all the way down, I don't try to push it off anymore. I let it sit. Because somehow it makes me feel like she's close. And somehow she's still alive, you know? But every year around this time, I've made it a thing where, for a long time now, actually since I first got to church, where there's an old song that I mangle in her honor. And I do it because I've made a vow that I'm going to do my part to make sure that the circle is unbroken. And I can't force anybody else to do anything, but I can make sure there's not going to be a gap in that circle where I'm supposed to be standing. A lot of this song was real. A lot of this song is exactly how it happened. I lived a couple blocks away from my mom and dad. I was grown, lived a couple blocks away. My 16-year-old sister, there's seven of us, and her and the three youngest, one of which is my brother Damon, were still at home, and they were very young. And one morning, my sister Wendy called me in a panic, and she thought Mom had passed in the night. And I ran the two blocks. I was so panicked, I ran and forgot I had a car, and just ran. I got there, and we resuscitated her. And then it was a couple days later, I got another call, and though I remembered I had a car this time.
Amen.
I wasn't quite in the panic that it was the first time, but when I got there, she was gone this time. I can still remember my brother was just a little boy, and my youngest sister was 4 or 5 years old at the time. And I can remember just like an hour, 2 hours later, somehow the house was full. It was full of people I didn't even know. And then some people I didn't know took my mom, and we never saw her in our home again. I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw that hearse come rolling. Oh, to carry my mother away, will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord. I said, Undertaker, Undertaker, please drive slow. for that lady you are holding. Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I walk behind her. I tried to be so strong and brave, but I could not keep from crying when they lowered her in her grave. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I went back home, my home was lonesome, for my mother, she was gone. All my brothers, sisters crying, for our home was sad and lone. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Here's what I decided today. No, the circle, it won't be broken in the sky, Lord, in the sky. 'Cause there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. None of us can do anything about anybody that's already passed. But what we can do is we can make certain that there will not be a gap in that circle where we're supposed to be standing.
Amen.
We can make up our mind it ain't going to be broken. I'm not breaking it. I'm not. Sickness ain't gonna stop me. Poverty ain't gonna stop me. Hate ain't gonna stop me. Loneliness ain't gonna stop me. Broken heart ain't gonna stop me. Law ain't gonna stop me. Government ain't gonna stop me. Antichrist ain't gonna stop me. Mark of the beast ain't gonna get me. I made up my mind. I'm gonna be standing where I'm supposed to stand. Woo! Man, ain't you glad you can do something about that?
Oh, man.
All right, Spud, why don't you come up and help me today? Let me give you this. Let me get my fancy IT card out of your way.
You good, brother?
We're in this together, boys.
We are. I'm glad you realize that. You stuck with me, son.
Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God. Thank you for another day, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you mend the broken hearts, Lord God, the broken families, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, work in favor of whatever they need, Lord God.
Yes.
Because, Lord God, we know that we are all important to you, Lord God. And in your eyes, we're all equals, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you come down and mend those broken hearts and broken families, Lord God, and put them back together like they should be, Lord God.
Yeah.
Now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you bless this offering to the good of your kingdom, Lord God, and use it for what you'll have it used for, Lord God. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 to.
All right, Ollie, what do you think? You want to go to class today? Think it's got anything to do with a bee? Huh? Think it has anything to do with a bee? All right, we're going to ask Aunt Kitty and Aunt Iris and the three girls today to go ahead and be dismissed back to class.
Church.
Rest y'all stuck with me. Eventually, there's some things that we do with kids ministry, and we'll get that started when we're ready for it. One thing that we did before, and this is a lot of fun, is we made a toy box. And what the toy box is for is any kid that invites a friend to come to church, when they do come to church, when church is over, the kid that invited the friend gets to pick a toy out of there, and so does the friend, and then they can invite the same person twice in a row and get a gift both times. And what we did was we filled that box with those $5, $8 toys from Dollar General. Man, you want to talk about kids getting excited about inviting somebody to church. Awesome. And what we did was we made that toy box up, and then we just asked the adults and told them, hey, next time you're in Dollar General, pick up some $5 toys while you're out, you know, and we'll stock up the toy box. And then next time it gets low, then we'll just let everybody know again. I like buying some of them toys myself, you know. Yeah. So we're going to start that pretty soon. We're getting to just about when the weather gets nice and stays that way, and I get this van running, we'll have a means to be able to haul some kids to church, and I'm going after the most unruly, unkempt, uncivilized youngins we can find.
That's right.
Because most of the time, the reason they're that way is because nobody has shown them any kind of love or any kind of care. Mm-hmm. That's the ones we want, and that's the ones we're going to go after. So keep that in mind. There's something else Kitty told me to tell you. She knew she was messing up, but she asked me to tell you. Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand with me just for a minute. We're going to read through this, and then you can be seated, and then we're going to dig like we do. We're going to be reading 2 Peter today. Go almost all the way back to the book of Revelation and take a left. And it's a couple books right before the book of Revelation in your Bible. We're going to read from 2 Peter chapter number 1. If you found it, say I found it.
Found it.
All right, that's a majority right there. Got to make sure my phone is off. 2 Peter, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant. What? Mm-hmm. Dude, the priest said Pentecost message? Dude, he got handed the keys? Look what he says. He was first. Servant. I like that. I like him right here already. Yes, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look which one's more important to him.
Servant.
Yes.
If he had to pick which one he was going to go by or how they were going to introduce him, it would be servant.
That's right.
He's like, I'm a servant. Well, and, well, okay, yeah, I'm also an apostle. Yeah. And then he tells who the audience is, who the people are that he is wanting to talk to. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let me help you with that real quick. The word apostle, all it means is like an ambassador, a messenger. Most of them had certain characteristics and certain things they did, but really all an apostle means is a messenger, an ambassador, somebody that's been given the message to give somebody else. So, you know, people that make it a big deal and put it in front of their name, and you know, that's their Facebook name and their Instagram name and all that. And I hope they realize that all of us are supposed to be messengers and servants. Mm-hmm. A servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and here's the audience. It's not to everybody. Look who it's to. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us. I like this part. How many?
All.
Given us all things that pertain unto life. That sounds pretty good to me, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Yeah.
How? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us. Called us to get in the pulpit. Called us to give ourselves a title and try to get 1,000 followers and monetize our Facebook page.
Oh, boy.
No. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue.
That's right.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Damon, would you pray for us today?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. We praise you, Lord, that we have your word for which to guide us.
Yes,
we pray that you would open our understanding unto this word.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that it would be a timely message that would help many. In your name, Jesus, we praise you.
Amen. You can be seated today.
Amen.
I want to talk to you today about exceeding great promises. And we're still on the same theme. We started talking about the Holy Ghost a couple weeks ago, and we're still on the same theme. I got stuck on this section of Scripture, and I get stuck on stuff a lot because I love to read the Bible. And I'm an old man with a lot of time on my hands, and when I get stuck on something, I got time to dig it out, which I'm very thankful for. But there's a certain kind of getting stuck that after I get stuck for a little while, I realize I'm stuck on that because God wants me to share it with people. So I want to talk today about exceeding great promises. Great promises already. You got me. I'm in. I like great promises.
Yeah.
But then it's exceeding great promises. So that means you got great promises, and then you got promises that exceeded great promises. And then to top it off, these are promises from God.
Yes.
These ain't just exceeding great promises from your spouse or from your kids or your parents or from somebody of authority or power or wealth. Uh-huh. This are great promises from God Himself.
Yes.
Now what's cool about this is it starts out with some things that are available for all of us right off the bat. When Peter opens up by explaining who he is, he gives his credentials, and then he talks to people. He wants them to know who his audience is. People that have obtained like precious faith. He doesn't talk like a valley girl from California like all the time. He doesn't use the word like right there like a valley girl. And what he's saying is that I'm talking now to people that have obtained the same kind of precious faith we have. Like precious faith. That means we believe the same things. And Peter, obviously, was an apostle. So he has no choice that any doctrine Peter teaches, guess what kind of a doctrine it's going to be? An apostle's doctrine.
Yep.
You can't get away from it. Man has made that those words mean stuff that God doesn't want anything to do with and has nothing to do with. The word apostolic doctrine, it doesn't mean in its purest form a denomination. It doesn't mean in its purest form that means that dude's got a licensing card in his wallet from the apostolic faith of the Lord Jesus Christ or whatever kind of title they want to give it.
There is no doctrine that is not apostolic doctrine. The reason I say that is because the apostles, that's just another word for the disciples.
Yes.
They were the disciples that Jesus handpicked and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So that's the same group of men, and later it changes because Judas, well, he messed up, he gets replaced, and now we've got other apostles that come in, like the Apostle Paul, but all apostolic doctrine means is this is what the people taught that Jesus handpicked to teach the rest of the world.
Yes.
That's it. That's all it's supposed to mean. That's not supposed to mean that these are the people that if you show up and your chin don't look as smooth as a baby's butt, they're going to think you're cold in your walk with God or you're backslid. That ain't supposed to mean that if you go to church there and you're a woman and you don't have a dress on, they're going to treat you like you just walked out of the bar. That's not what it's supposed to mean at all. Those are man's rules that he has put in to God's doctrine and added to it and diluted it and polluted it.
That's right.
Apostolic doctrine is in the Bible.
Amen.
There is no PS to that. You don't add anything to what the Bible says, and you don't take anything away from it. So he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. That word precious is not like Gollum looking for his ring. Precious.
Right.
That word precious, it's not like we think of when we might mention a grandkid, a little baby running around. Oh, they're so precious. That's not what this means. This word precious means valuable.
Mm-hmm.
That means this thing is highly valuable. It was, listen to this, it was expensive when it was purchased, and we should treat it like it's expensive when we have it.
Yes.
There was a death involved to create this faith.
That's right.
There is no higher expense than a man can make that, like this, that he laid down his life for his friends.
Yes.
This faith is precious. It's valuable. And it needs to be the most valuable thing in our life.
Amen.
Now, there are people, I remember when Lori and Travis were first moving into their home, and I remember Travis said, one day we were cutting firewood or something, me, Jimmy, and Nathan, and Travis had mentioned a couple times that he had a gun safe he wanted to move, you know? And he said, well, but it's pretty heavy, I'm going to warn you. And I was like, well, okay, we can do that. Just let me know what you want to do. We can do that. Well, one day, me and Nathan and Jimmy were over at Travis's mother's, and the gun safe was in her garage, right? And I remember that day, I was thinking that day, boy, I know what. This would be a great day to get that gun safe because I got Jethro Bodine right here. And, you know, he'll carry half that thing, and, you know, man, take it easy. And so we talked about it, and once we were done cutting the wood, we went up to the garage, and Travis says, now I'm warning you, it's heavy. And I was thinking, it won't be heavy for me. I got Bodine over here. And we walked through that garage, and we turned around, and I said, oh, my God, this safe is this wide and this big. Bodine ain't going to carry that safe.
No, sir.
Now, the reason that safe was that big and it was heavy,
uh-huh,
the four of us.
Got that right.
Don't mess with the lady in orange either. I'm just going to say that while I'm on this. Because Travis told me she was the one to help them get it in there. I ain't messing around with that lady right there.
Right.
Because all four of us were grunting. We're taking two steps back and throwing the hip into the thing. And it took all four of us everything we could do to get that joker out of the trailer.
Yes.
And when we got it out of the trailer and headed for the new home, all I could think was, if Lori helped get that on there, I hope Lori's there when we get there. But this gun safe, it's not that big and that heavy because it's ostentatious. He didn't get this gun safe that big and that heavy because he was worried about trying to show off.
Right.
There wasn't diamonds encrusted around the outside of it. The reason it was that big and that heavy is because Travis has that many guns.
Right.
And he don't want to lose them.
Right.
Right.
So he's got them in a safe.
Amen.
And they are protected like they are extremely valuable.
That's right.
That is the same way we should protect our faith.
Amen.
It needs to be
Amen.
Guarded.
Amen.
It needs to be protected.
Yes.
And we should not let everybody have access to our faith.
Yeah.
Now that needs a little explaining, I'm aware. We share our faith, and we should.
Amen.
Yeah. But our faith is not up for negotiation.
No.
Yeah. It's not up for trade. There is nothing anybody can give us that we would give them our faith
right.
in return.
Right.
I had water problems last week, and I learned and started thinking about the day when I'm going to be in my mid-60s and the church is going to be numerically bigger and there's going to be a lot of 20-some-year-old young men in the church. And I found myself longing for that day last week because I was under the trailer and I was in a corner like this where I had to be like this for about 40 minutes straight. And when I got out of the trailer, I was like that for about the first 15 steps as one part of my body would unfold and the other, and they hurt as bad unfolding as they did when I folded them. And all I could think about is there's going to be a day where old man Arliss is going to be in his mid-60s and there's going to be some 20-year-old young men in the church that are going to have the heart to love God and their preacher and will come under there and crawl under that trailer for me, and I'll be on top saying, "Do you need a sweet tea?"
Right, that's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
But I did not have a good time under there.
No, no.
But the situation was very serious. It was a leak from the hot water tank.
Oh.
I like hot water.
Amen.
I'm only one generation removed from people that had to go out of their home in Harlan, Kentucky and go draw their water every day and felt like they were big time when they got a well dug right next to the house. That was highfalutin.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir.
I did not enjoy myself. I was under there Sunday night, I was under there Monday, under there Tuesday, and under there Wednesday.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
And I was not a happy camper.
No, sir.
But I will not lose my faith
right.
over a problem that's bad. And you can. You can get so angry you start talking in ways that people of faith should not talk.
That's right.
You can get so mad about the situation you're in when you try. And all I could think about was Jimmy and his vehicles the last couple months. He's been fighting the same kind of thing that I was fighting those 3 or 4 days.
Right.
Where you do what all the videos say to do, and that's going to fix it, and you do it just like it, and you get it done, and
right.
guess what? It didn't fix it.
That's right. That's right.
After a while, you're kind of upset.
Uh-huh.
But you cannot trade your faith for that.
No, sir.
It's
no, sir.
Not up for trade.
Oh, non-negotiable.
If we don't have running water at all. I'm keeping my faith.
Amen.
If Jimmy's got to buy an Amish buggy
right.
and a couple horses,
yeah,
he's keeping his faith.
That's right.
It's not for trade.
That's right.
Not for sale. You can't have it.
Nope. That's right. That's
precious faith.
That's right.
How valuable. Listen, there's got to come a time in our walk with God where the value we place on our faith is no longer, it's just that valuable to us because we're no longer what we used to be. There's got to come a time where that faith is not so valuable because if we think where we're going to go when we die, there's got to come a time in our walk with God where my faith is valuable to me because he's been so good to me. He's treated me better than I deserve. He's given me a marriage I don't deserve. He's given me health in my body I don't deserve. He's put awesome people in my life that I don't deserve. So now my faith is valuable to me because of him. Not because of what he took away. Not because of what he promised is going to happen down there.
Right.
But because of what he is to me right now.
That's right. Amen.
There comes a time where we got to know we can't even walk without him holding our hand.
Yeah.
And then there's got to come a time where we make up our mind. It ain't that I can't. I like this part. I won't.
Well, that's right. That's right.
You want me to go over there, God? Well, I'm not going unless I can hold your hand if I go over there.
You better go with me. That's right.
And that means, you know, the fellows at work or whatever invite me to join the bowling league. Mm-hmm. Well, if I can't go up in there holding the hand of Jesus, I ain't going.
Don't want to go.
If I'm going into an environment that I know he don't like, and I know he is not going to go in with me, guess what? I ain't going either.
Right, exactly.
There comes a time where our faith has got to become valuable to us because of who he is to us, not just what.
Yep,
right.
See, people in our life and our family, they're a what first. Paul Nathan knew when he was a baby, when he opened his mouth and screamed, Mom came running. Either to shut him up or put something in it so he wouldn't be screaming no more.
Right, right.
But she was a what. She was the answer to every one of his problems. She was a what. She was a mom, but she was mom as in a what. But then Nathan got older and began to learn who his mother was, and she became a who. So he no longer just loves her because of what she is. Well, I have to love her. She's my mother. No. He loves her now because of who she is to him. That's the way our faith has got to become with God. And when it becomes that way, can't nobody take it from you? Because you won't give it up for anybody.
Nope. No, sir.
Right. That have obtained like precious faith with us. How? How? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Not through my righteousness. Through his.
Yes.
Amen.
Then, I like this part too. This is super cool. Grace and peace. First, that word grace right there, that's not talking about how we got in by God's grace. This is a word, charis. It's a Greek word, charis. It means divine influence upon the heart. So Peter's saying, God's influence on your heart be multiplied to you. So whatever influence God has on your heart right now, Peter says, I would like to see that multiplied, not added to, multiply.
I'll take it.
You add two, you only get two more. You multiply by two, you get double.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
May God's influence upon your heart be multiplied. And that word peace, oh man, I love this. Quietness and rest. See, because sometimes you can be quiet and you ain't the least bit rested.
Yeah.
There was times I was in a holding cell back down the road, and I was the last one to get called, and all I could think about was how, what mood that judge is going to be in after dealing with these 29 gangbangers before me, and now I'm the last guy, and I'm standing between him and lunch, and it was quiet in that cell, but Jimmy, I was nowhere near at rest.
Right, Dave, you sure wasn't. That's right. That's right.
So this kind of peace is a quietness with rest. My dad used to say something when we were kids, I hated it. I thought it was the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. He'd say, I said, Dad, I'm bored. And he'd say, boredom's a blessing.
Yeah.
But you know it ain't. That's stupid. No, boredom is not a blessing. I want something to do. As I've gotten older, guess what I've learned? Boredom is a blessing. Because you're not bored when the cops are knocking on your door. You're not bored when your children are having fights with their spouses when they're grown and trying to drag you in the middle of it. You're not bored when somebody you love with all your heart is real sick and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You ain't bored when you're under a trailer fixing a water leak. You ain't bored when you're trying to figure out how they designed a PT Cruiser.
Right.
So there comes a place where you realize boredom really is a blessing. But it's a hard thing to learn how to rest in quietness. Because some of us are a little hyperactive. Peter says that God's influence upon our heart and the quietness and rest in our life can be multiplied unto us. There is a way it can be multiplied unto us. And he tells how. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look, He's not saying like he's talking about two different people right here. What he's saying is that you can't just run around saying, I love God, I love God, I love God, and not have Jesus in the middle of your faith somehow in some kind of way. You can't do it. And there's a lot of them that do it. They have PSs to the Bible. They had angels visiting Mr. Smith somewhere and giving him the part God forgot to put in with the first one. And they leave Jesus all the way out. Or they make Jesus, like the Muslims do, just a good prophet, a good teacher. Peter said you can't do that.
Yep.
You can have your God's influence on your heart and divine quietness and rest multiplied in your life through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He's got to be Lord. He can't be number two. He can't be a PS. He has to be Lord. Now what's cool, this knowledge of God, it's like, okay, well, good grief, I got that. So if all I got to do to have peace multiplied, all I got to do to have God's influence on my heart, man, listen, that one right there is at the top of the list. Because there is nothing any more dramatic than to see the change in somebody when God starts having influence on their heart.
Amen.
All of a sudden, people that were hateful before can't get a grin. You and me both, Damon. You guys didn't see him before his miracle. He still weirds me out sometimes because he's this whole new person that I don't know. I don't know. Because he don't act like he used to act. So I can't take any of my past information about my own biological brother and use that to come to a conclusion on how he's going to react in any given situation because I don't know who he is anymore. And the reason I don't is because God has had influence on his heart.
Amen.
There is a change that takes place.
Yes.
Salvation is more than a mental decision.
Yeah.
Right.
It's more than adopting the principles and the life principles of the Christian faith. No, salvation is a change of heart,
yes,
not just mind. God will change our heart.
That's right.
And Peter said there's a way to have God multiply that. Good grief. I have to follow him around to keep him from getting arrested. Because he's going to try to do nice things for strangers that don't know who he is, and they're going to think he's up to something, trying to con them out of money. There's sometimes, if you think how God could multiply his influence on our heart, what would that mean?
Yes.
Just let that filter through.
Right.
If right now, if God just supernaturally touched every one of us in our heart right now, every one of us would change. And it wouldn't be just a little. There would be a great big change somewhere in our conduct, in our personality, in our value system, in our priorities. That's just if God touched us once. What would happen if God took the first touch on your heart, you know, that old Jimmy that was just like me, was an alcoholic,
right,
you know, that Jimmy, and God touched your heart, and now you ain't a recovering alcoholic.
Nope.
You're a recovering apostolic who ain't ever going to recover. What you are is an ex-alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's because God took his finger and touched your heart just one single time.
Yes,
well,
man,
what else would change if God multiplied that one touch that did all that? Multiplied it.
Amen. Yes.
If he just multiplied it times two, that would mean double the change that has made people at work wonder what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if they ain't asking you out loud, Lori, they're knowing something has happened.
Uh-huh.
I need a multiplication of the touch of God on my heart. I do. Because while there are some things God has changed dramatically and it's helped me to be a help to people, there are some other things that still get in my way. And if they get in my way, guess who else's way they get in? They're getting in God's way, and guess who else? The lost way. And Peter said, here's how you do it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That word knowledge right there, epignosis. Epignosis sounds almost like hypnosis. It's pretty close. Listen to this. This knowledge of God isn't just head knowledge. Like, yeah, I know there's a God. I know God's real. No, this knowledge means three things. Recognition, acknowledgement, application. Woo! This knowledge of God is recognizing He is God.
Yeah.
Acknowledging He is God. How is that done? God, I see it. I wish I hadn't. This is going to take me a minute, but I see it.
Yeah.
I acknowledge it's your word.
Yes, sir.
And now, the third part, I'm going to do my best to apply it.
Amen. Yes.
Just giving God recognition by itself, that don't get the job done.
No, sir. No.
There's millions of people running around today that are vile, that are evil, that talk nasty, walk nasty, treat their spouses nasty, treat their kids awful, neglect them, and they think because somewhere back down the road at Vacation Bible School when they were 8 years old, they gave God recognition and acknowledged that they were lost, that they're good with God, even though they live like the devil. That don't make sense. There's three parts. Recognize, acknowledge, apply. The application is what's being left out in a lot of places and in a lot of people's lives. Just think about that without thinking about any past things we knew or believed or thought were right, and just think about it as you hear it. It just makes sense. I recognize this is God. I acknowledge this is God. And now I do my best to apply what it is I've recognized and acknowledged.
Yeah.
And the thing that blows me away, Laurie, is Peter said, if I'll do those three simple, they're simple.
Yep.
And don't think that God expects after you recognize and acknowledge and that you try to apply that you're going to be able to get that application right the first time every single time. We'll be doing good if we get it right the first time in a blue moon. I will. God doesn't expect that. What He does expect is that we will keep trying to apply it because we have recognized it, we acknowledge it, and now we have to apply it. And sometimes that takes a long time to get the hang of. And it just makes sense. And Peter said, if we'll do these three things, then grace and peace will be multiplied. Multiplied? So you mean all I got to do when I see something is from God, whether it's in the book, the preaching, or God talks to me, I see that something is from God, I acknowledge it, then the next thing I do is try to apply it, and if I'm doing that, then God will multiply His influence on my heart. I'm in, man. Because if He multiplies His influence on my heart, that means I'm going to know how to love people better. And I'm real good at loving people love me back.
Yeah.
Not everybody is, believe it or not. But I've got that part down. But, you know, guess what? That ain't hard.
Yeah.
It's easy to love people love you back.
Yes.
It's another thing to keep loving people that you thought loved you.
Right.
And then just, boop, kick you to the curb.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or then walk off. And have things to say about you that ain't even close to reality. That's not an easy thing. But that's the kind of love we're supposed to have. And I'm not real good at that yet. It bothers me. I don't like getting ghosted. Just ghosted. That hurts. But somehow in our walk with God, we've got to get to the place where we realize I represent Him.
Yes.
The reason they're ghosting me is because they're ghosting Him.
Right.
Now, they crucified him the first time. Thank God these people are just ghosting him and not trying to crucify him. Somehow that makes me being ghosted a little easier to deal with.
Yeah.
And the hard thing is when you get ghosted like that, the next person that comes along and says all the same things the last person did and responds the same way the last person did, you know, if you're not careful, you won't give them the same level of enthusiasm that you gave the one before them, because you'll have it in your mind, I got to be careful. I can't put myself too far off there because they might ghost me too, and that'll hurt real bad, and I don't want to be hurt. Guess what? When we made up our mind we're going to save Jesus Christ, that we're going to serve God, we committed to being hurt. And not just once, but every time that somebody looking for God decides they're going to hurt us, that's what we signed up for. But somehow we've got to be able to recover from that and do two things. One thing is love the next one that comes in the door, that walks like they did, talks like they did, responds like they did. We've got to give them the same amount of our heart. We did that one. And then here's the other thing. We've got to be able to have our heart in the condition it needs to be, to when that person comes walking back through that door, that they don't see my eyes have a shade over them, that my eyes don't glaze over when I see them, that when I talk to them, my voice isn't funny. I've got to have the same love I had for them before they ghosted God and ghosted me. And I got to go one step better. I've got to have even more love and realize that it's a miracle they made it back in here from out there, because the destroyer's out there, the devourer's out there, and I can't treat them like we're in high school and they're dating my best friend's ex-girlfriend, so they're my enemy. I've got to treat them like that father of the prodigal did and say, slay the fatted calf. My son that was dead is alive. And the only way we can love people like that is for God to multiply his effect on our hearts.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Because if we don't, we're not going to do the job right.
No.
If we don't, we're going to hold a grudge. If we don't, we're going to love them from a distance. Mm-hmm. And that's not what God wants any of us to do. So the only way I can get that multiplied impact on my heart and be able to love the way God wants me to is to recognize, acknowledge, and apply.
Yep.
Anything we learn about God, we are now accountable for. It has to be applied.
Yep.
Now, watch this. According as his divine power, his God power, has given unto us all things. That's pretty awesome. God's divine power has given us all things, but he's specific about what all things. All things that pertain unto life. What?
No.
There don't have to be nothing else said. I'm in again.
Mm-hmm.
God in his power has given us all things that pertain to life. That's got to become real to us. Stop and think about, on a carnal sense, all things that apply to our lives. All the things that pertain to our life. To me, my wife pertains unto my life.
Yeah.
My children pertain to my life. My grandchildren pertain to my life.
Yeah.
My great-granddaughter pertains to my life.
Yeah.
My brother pertains to my life.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters pertain to my life.
Yeah.
My obligations at home pertain to my life. My financial... On and on and on. And God made sure there's not one part of my life that is uncovered.
Right.
God has given us all things that pertain to life.
Life.
Anything you're missing in your life, God has given it to you. But some of it has to be gotten too.
Uh-huh.
Some of it has to be worked through to get to.
Yep.
That's right.
And this life that God has given us, all things pertaining unto it, isn't just our carnal life.
Yeah.
I would beg to say today that the first thing he's talking about is our eternal life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That means anything that has to do with eternity has been given to us. It's ours. But God didn't go, here, it's all yours, take it right now, Nathan. He didn't do that.
No.
Look what he did. All things that pertain to life. What does that mean? It's the same word. All things that pertain to life are ours through the recognition of God, the acknowledgement of God, and the application of the things we learn about God.
Yes.
If I will recognize this is the Word of God, if I will recognize this is God's principle for me to live by, if I will acknowledge that to God and to man, in other words, they're going to see that there's some ways I live that ain't up for negotiation. They ain't got nothing to do with you. These are things that I've recognize God wants me to live by, and I'm going to do it. This is how I acknowledge it. And then if I apply it, God, then all the things he has given to us pertaining to life now are accessible.
Amen.
Take that joy.
If we skip the recognition, acknowledgement, and application of what we learn about God, then all the things God has made available to us that pertain unto life will never be ours.
Uh-huh.
He says specifically, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. How? Through the knowledge of him.
Yep.
Recognition, acknowledgement, application.
Yep.
Now, that means I can start right where I am. And there are some things I don't really work too hard on to apply. There just are. It's only been the last couple years where I've learned not to ask people for money back that I've loaned them. That one is a tough one.
Yep.
Especially when you're with them and they know that they borrowed the money and they said they were going to give it back on Friday, and it's Friday, and they act all day long like they don't know what day it is. And then you see them again the next day, and now they're supposed to pay you back yesterday, and today they're acting like they never even forget, you know, they don't even remember that you borrowed them any money, so, you know, they never even bring it up again. And it's a hard thing, especially if you see them and they got money in their pocket and they're going out and doing this and doing that and doing the other, and in their mind it's like, that ain't right. I borrowed them money. I should be able to ask them for my money back. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And it took me a long time to get that one. But I recognize that's what God wants us to do. I acknowledge it. And then it took me 28 years. That's embarrassing. It took me that long to apply it to now where I don't ask for it back.
Yeah.
What does that do for me? Well, it loses me money.
Yeah.
But what it does for me is it makes all the things that pertain to life accessible to me. I lost the $20 here because I didn't ask for it back.
Yeah.
But because I recognized God didn't want me to ask for it back, I acknowledged it by not asking for it back, I applied it by not asking for it back, now I, through that knowledge of God's principle, I am eligible to receive all the things that God has made available to me in this life. And I got a feeling God will make sure I get that $20 back over and over and over again. That's just the things that pertain in life. There's another part in that sentence. Y'all probably thought I missed it, but I did it on purpose. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That word godliness has one definition, holiness. Boy, have they mangled this one. We got four fellas in here right now with facial hair. If I knew how to shave halfway decent and hadn't shaved half my goatee off on accident, I'd have some today too. But there are people in man-made religions that would look at men with facial hair and say, you are ungodly, you are unholy, because of an outward thing that you have done.
Yep.
And then they can have somebody right up on the platform next to them who has a rotten attitude, yep, who has driven off visitors one after another, is mean to all the children, but by God, they shave every Sunday morning, and they get to sit up on the platform and be used in the church. But this brother right here that loves on these kids that come by and treats all the visitors, and they know he means it, and they feel welcome, but by God, he's got a goatee. He's ungodly. We can't use him.
Right.
And they got everything that God had in order flipped upside down.
Yeah.
It's upside down.
Yes, sir.
This is why I have so many friends. I talk about all this stuff. Because of our knowledge of God, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, what does that mean? Well, look, that one kind of goes hand in hand with this whole knowledge of God. Recognizing God does not like something in particular. Acknowledging that now you know he does not like that. And then applying the fact that now you know he does not like that because you don't listen to that anymore. Because you don't watch that anymore. Because you don't go there anymore. Because you don't drink that anymore. Because you don't smoke that anymore. Because you don't say that word anymore. That, my friend, is godliness. It's not a list of rules. Well, Brother Nathan, we're so thankful you visited us today and you came down to the altar after the end of service. Now, here's our list of standards. I want you to go home, get all these down pat, and don't worry. If you don't get them all down pat, Sister Susie will let you know right away what you messed up next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. No thanks.
Right. Yeah. No thanks.
Yes, sir.
The thing that encourages me is this is the same condition the church was in when Jesus came the first time. He looked at the high priest, looked at all the officials in the church, and he said, you are whitened sepulchers. In other words, you're all shiny on the outside. And then he told him, he finished it and said, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones.
Yeah, sure.
And it's the same condition that the majority of the religious world is in today. Jesus is coming soon, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge, recognition, acknowledgement, application. Now check this out. Of him that has called us to specific things, called us to glory. No, he's not saying that he's going to kill you today and you're going to heaven. This word glory is doxa. It means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. Whoa, God called me to dignity. That means when I have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not going to be the nastiest guy in my group of friends.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be at work around the guys when they talk about the lady that walked through there a minute ago. Because I have dignity. God called us to dignity. Then the next thing, honor. He called me to honor. Well, what is that? That's honoring God in my life to such an extent where somebody that doesn't know God is going to know there's something different about me. Not that I'm perfect, but there's some things they never hear me say. They talk about some shows, and I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't give a rip about Rip on Yellowstone. I saw a reel on Facebook. By the time I could swipe that thing away, there'd been 3 F-bombs on it. In a 30-second reel. I'm out. God's called me to dignity and honor. And the first honor we show is him. That's why when you hear the name Jesus out of our mouth, we're praying.
Yeah.
We may make some funny sounds when we hit our finger with a hammer, but we don't make a sound that sounds like Jesus Christ when we get angry. Because he called us to dignity and honor. And we honor him first. And then, if we're married, the next person we honor is our spouse. And one of the greatest ways we honor our spouse is by our behavior when they're not around.
Yes. Yep.
I worked at a place in Rogersville called Sam Dong. It was all mostly Koreans, and I worked there when they started up. And the guys there, all the men, were just nasty, man. I mean, they were. And, you know, I don't go somewhere and say I'm a preacher on this or that. I just go somewhere and call everybody brother. And pretty soon, everybody, my name's Brother Arliss. And pretty soon, they know that I don't do this and I don't do that. And they kind of get an idea of something's going on. And some of them ask me, and then they find out, right? But all the guys there, I mean, all of them, man, would talk about the women that work there. And they start talking about them. And I'd leave the group and just go on down the hallway, go on down across the plant or somewhere. And me and Kitty finally got some days off. They worked us like your place. We were on 12s with no scheduled days off. And that's the way the schedule was. And it was an hour to work in the morning, an hour back. So every day was 14 hours that was just consumed with getting to work, from work, and working. And it didn't leave much of life left. So I feel you. I really do. But we finally got some days off, and me and Kitty went down to Pigeon Forge, and I was going by the store, one of them that she didn't go in. I was amazed she missed one. And we went by the window, and they had a mannequin and had her shirt on and said, "I love my wife." And I said, "Arr!" I said, "Hold up. I want to go in this store." She said, "What?" "Yeah, I want to go in this one." And I went in and bought that shirt, says, "I love my wife." And I went back to work when it started up again, and we're sitting around, you know, and the guy started talking about one of the women there, and I said, "I love my wife." They said, "What?" And I said, "I love my wife." I said, "You married, ain't you, brother?" He said, "Yeah, well," and then all of them got it, right? And I'd wear this "I love my wife" shirt, and it changed some things.
Yes.
Because I gave my wife honor even though she wasn't around.
Right.
God has called us to dignity and honor. Then the next thing he's called us to, from that one word glory, look at that. You have been called to glory. That means God has said, "Come here. Come to honor. Come to dignity. Then come to praise and worship." That praise part, guess what? That needs to be more than just God on Sunday or Wednesday when we're together.
Right.
Praise is one of the least things handed out among families. I'm just telling you what I know. And I'm not talking about just families that fight each other like that family on Police Academy, you know, bust each other in the nose. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about families that love each other. Some people, a lot of people, have a hard time praising somebody.
Yeah.
And God has called us to that. Man, I don't care if you had that macaroni and cheese dinner and your wife, you know, she thinks she really did something because she put some fresh Vienna sausage in that thing and now it's cuisine and you've had that thing 900 times. You know what? Every now and then, you need to, before you slurp it down like Jeff throwing the cornflakes out of that big old bowl, sometimes you need to stop or in your prayer when you bless it, in the prayer say, "Lord, thank you for a wife who all these years still takes the time to fix me these cuisine Vienna sausages, God."
That's right. That's right.
And then choke it down somehow. Good luck with that. God has called us to dignity, honor, praise, and worship. The next thing, God has called us to virtue. Virtue. I like this one for real. You know why? Because the first definition of this word is excellence. Excellence. That's why we will not do anything together as a church family if we can't do it right. Not because somebody would think something about the bridge or think something about our list. No, it's because we represent God. We can't do nothing halfway. That don't mean fancy. It just means done right. God has called us to glory and virtue. And then that word excellence, virtue, guess what else it means? A higher moral standard. God does have standards. God, in his relationship with us, calls us to a higher moral standard. I'm not going to make this easy on you. I'm not saying he calls you to a higher moral standard than the guy that sits at the bar 7 nights a week. I'm saying he calls us to a higher moral standard than what we had yesterday. I know I'm not the only one that wants more of God.
Right.
Well, the only way I'm going to get more of God is if God gets more of me. And it ain't about following man's rules. It's about finding that higher level of moral value. moral standard in my life. I'm going to tell you what I've been trying to do lately. Man, I didn't realize how bad I was at this until I tried to fix it. Anybody know what I mean by that? I'm trying to get rid of bywords. You know what bywords are? That means instead of using the Lord's name in vain, we say, dadgum. Well, you know what dadgum is? It's a byword for using the Lord's name in vain. And all the people that still use the Lord's name in vain, they know what you really meant. Now remember, I'm talking about me. You get there whenever you get there.
Yeah.
It's taken me all this time. I'm just now starting to work on it, and I am messing it up. I didn't realize how many replacements I had for the F-bomb.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Why do I need one at all?
Yeah,
right.
So what I'm saying is, I am working on getting rid of these bywords. Because all they are is replacements that if you're around people that still swear, they heard the swear word. And a lot of times, I heard the swear word in my head. I don't use it no more, but there are times where I would use a byword and the real word, the nasty word, would be in my head even though it didn't come out of my mouth. I have to pull myself to a higher moral standard. Not to be a member of the Bridge Church family. Not to be your friend. Not to be anything else other than a child of God that wants more of God in me. And the only way that can happen is if I get some of me out of me. I've got to make more room for God. Now what I got to do to make more room for Him can be different from what you need to do to make more room from Him. And look at this. Making more room from Him, it doesn't even have to mean that you've got a nasty habit that you've got to get rid of. No. It just means, hey man, I don't have the nasty habits no more. It took me 52 years, but I got rid of bywords. I don't have any of those things anymore, but I still want more of God. So I got to find something in me that I can get rid of so God's got more room in me. And that doesn't have to be getting rid of a sin. It's just getting rid of something that's me that I would rather have Him there than me. We're almost done. He has called us to glory and virtue, dignity, honor, praise, and worship, excellence, higher moral standard. Whereby? This is cool. You know what the word whereby means? You know, we've learned already that when you read the Bible and it says therefore, that's King James, and it means because of this.
Yep.
So God will say something, and then He'll say, therefore. So when you see therefore, it means what He's getting ready to say next is because of what He said before the word therefore. The word whereby is a channel. It means a channel. So watch this. God has called us to glory and virtue whereby, what is the channel? Knowledge of Him. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So see, it's telling us if we want these exceeding great and precious promises, we got to find out what the channel is to get them. What is the whereby? The whereby is through knowledge of Him. The channel to get to from where we are to where we can be to receive exceeding great and precious promises, the channel that gets us there is knowledge of God. That means recognition, acknowledgement, and application. So how do I get in my walk with God from where I am now to where I can be for those exceeding great promises? How do I get there, preacher? I'm just going to tell you right now, I live a blessed life. I'm blessed. I mean, I really am.
Me too.
Man, you get my age, and you can say, you got this many people in your life that you know love you and care about you, that's, like Jimmy would say, that's winning. Seriously. That's winning. When you got a wife that loves you to death, that's winning. When you got a roof over your head, and you start every month with a bank account that says, whoop.
That's winning.
Yeah. Because somehow every month for the last 2 years, by the time the end of the month gets there, my house payments come, My utility payments are come. Yeah. I like to eat a little bit. My grocery money's come. It's there. Gas for the car's there. Auto insurance comes. I live a blessed life. But that doesn't mean I'm going to say today, I've had all of God I want. That doesn't mean I'm going to say today, I don't want to check out what those exceeding great promises are. No. I'm selfish about all that. If there are things God said I can have, I want them, and I want to know what I got to do to get them.
Yes.
Paul, Peter said that there are exceeding great and precious promises for us, and they are attainable through the knowledge of God.
Yep.
Recognizing Him. Recognize Him in the morning. I used to put off talking to God throughout the day because I felt like it didn't count if I didn't have a prayer time. Until God told me one day what the writer meant when he said, pray without ceasing. It means that any time I open my mouth and talk to God, that is prayer time.
Amen.
Just because I ain't set 20 minutes aside and walked the floor back and forth and called every name I know and every situation I know, that don't mean I haven't had prayer time.
Yeah.
Wake up in the morning and recognize God. Thank you, Lord. I opened my eyes today.
Yeah.
Lord, you said that this is a good day.
Yeah.
You said you've loaded this day down with benefits for me.
Yeah.
You've given me another one, and I'm going to go looking for those benefits you've given me.
Yeah.
Learn to recognize God.
Yes.
Acknowledge God. And then apply what it is you learn about God.
Awesome.
And if we do that, we have exceeding great. What does that even mean? Exceeding great? That means you excelled past great?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exceeding great means there is no greater.
Yep.
These are the greatest precious promises.
Yep.
And that word precious, it means valuable. So God has given us the greatest, most valuable promises.
Mm.
That word promise, I love this. You think some words are just going to have a plain meaning, and we all know what a promise means, Arliss.
Yes.
Thanks for enlightening us. I'm glad you gave us a word today. Check this out, man. This word promises means self-committal by God. It means God is committed to. Committed to what? These exceeding great, valuable promises. God has committed Himself to fulfilling those promises. He's committed. The only question is, am I? Am I committed? I'm committed if I recognize, acknowledge, and then apply.
Amen.
Recognize, acknowledge,
apply.
Then I'm committed. If there is no application, I'm not committed.
Yep.
I don't care if I recognize it.
Don't do it.
I don't care if I acknowledge it.
Yep.
If I don't apply it, I'm not committed. I got a ring on my finger when I married Kitty.
Yep.
This, I recognized I was married to her. I acknowledged I was married to her. But the application ain't in the ring.
Nope.
I can acknowledge I'm married. I can recognize I'm married. But the application of that marriage is where the rubber meets the road.
Yes.
It is in my conduct.
Yes.
Do I behave myself like I'm married?
Yep.
Am I committed? Because if I'm not applying behavior that shows I'm committed,
yep,
then it don't count.
Amen.
So it goes with us. When I walk with God, there has to be application. This last part. So what are those great greatest, most precious, most valuable, self-committed promises God has made us, what are they for? They have a purpose. They do something to us. That by these, by these most valuable promises God is committed to fulfilling, by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. That's godliness. That is literally godliness. That if we recognize, acknowledge, and apply, then there's promises from God that we can be more like Him. Not that we can be a God, but we can be like Him. So people can see, I'm not like I used to be. I'm like Him.
Yes.
To the best of my ability.
Yep.
That partaker means sharer. Mm. Sharer. Share divine nature.
Yep.
That divine nature is God-like disposition. Whoa. A God-like disposition. That means we behave like God. That don't make us a God. We behave like Jesus. So Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7 in one day.
Yep.
Somehow I got to try to be like Jesus.
Yep.
Jesus said to slap you on one cheek, offer the other. Somehow I've got to figure out how to be like Jesus. And if I've tried my best and it just ain't happening and I can't do the rest on my own, Peter has shown us how. If I will continue to recognize, acknowledge, and apply the things I can do,
yep,
God will let me share some of His godly disposition in the areas that I'm jacked up in and can't get no better at on my own. And I know that because I've tried over and over and over and over, and it just don't happen, Jimmy.
Right. Yes, sir.
So Peter said, don't give up. Just do something with what you're learning. And God will let some of that godly disposition rub off on you. I need it. I need it for the people that are in my life right now. Me and Kenny have been together for 33 years. And I've made it a habit over those 33 years to try to learn new ways to make my appreciation of her known. She would know. But after a while, it gets kind of hard to come up with new ideas. But if I can get more of the divine nature, if I can learn to love my wife the way God loves my wife,
yes,
it can happen then. We need this for the people that are already in our life. And there are people that are getting ready to come into our life, because when they start coming, they're not Arliss's job. We've been spending the better part of 2 years teaching and teaching and equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, with the ministry. Not while the ministry sits on a padded seat up on a platform.
Right.
But there are people that are going to walk through the door that are going to need us to love them with a godly disposition.
Yep.
And I've said all that today to get to this part right here. The window of time between where we are right now and when we are outnumbered by people that will just be starting their walks with God or be working on regaining their walk with God, reestablishing their relationship with God, that's been kind of cold for a while, that window of time between now and then is very small. So what that means is, we have very little time to finish applying what we already know we need to apply. Time is running out where we'll be able to focus on just me and my walk, because there's going to be somebody in here soon that's going to need my time, that's going to need my attention, and it's going to need God's love through me. So whatever I have in my life, when that day comes, if I don't have it down then, it's going to get in the way. It's going to slow them down. I'm not going to be able to help them the way I should. Amen. So what I'm saying to us today is, it's time that we, starting right here, do an inventory of our walk with God. And ask God to tell us, if we don't already know, is there anything in my walk with you, God, that I have recognized, I have acknowledged, and maybe I did start to apply, but I'm not now. Tell me now, God, because I want to be ready to help him. I want to be ready to help her. I want to be ready to help that family get put back together.
Yep.
And that's your stand. All these exceeding great promises. These are promises that God committed himself to for the purpose of our being able to partake of God's nature. And that, my friend, is not for our benefit first. We're blessed already. Every family in here, every person in here is blessed already. There are things in all of our walk with God as individuals, as families, and then as a church family that we know are way better than what they were back down the road a little ways. God has blessed us. So now it's time to say, okay, God, I recognize, I acknowledge, I'm going to apply. Because I'm going to need your nature to help whoever he is, whoever she is, whoever those little snot-nosed kids are that's going to come running in here tearing stuff up. They're going to need somebody to love them. There's going to be kids coming in here that ain't ever had a man hug them that wasn't trying to do something awful.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? That's who we're going after. But we got to be able to help them. And God has called us to excellence. We don't bust them in here and get the room full and our hearts aren't in the place to love kids that look all weirded out when you hug them, or maybe they act out in anger and they're not really mad, they just don't know how to accept that kind of affection because they never had it. I want to be able to love them. I want to. Somebody needs to. And God expects us to. We have the opportunity very soon to really be a bridge for somebody to get from where they are to where they want to be and maybe don't even believe they can be anymore. Right. We're meant to be that bridge. And bridges are here to get walked on.
Yes, yes, sir.
So I'm going to ask you today, Jimmy's going to play and going to sing. And what I'm going to ask you to do today, I'm not going to ask you to make no commitment to God of perfection. I'm not even going to ask you to tell God, all right, I know what it is already. I don't need you to tell me nothing. I got it down, God. I'm not asking you to do that either. What I'm asking you to do today is just make a commitment to God. Lord, when I leave this building today, I'm going to put all my focus and energy into applying what I know to do and stop doing what I know not to be doing, so I can be like you to the next one through the door. Now, if you'll make that commitment today, God will be committed to you. He already is. So I'm going to ask you to come today. Come make a commitment today to God to be a bridge.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your people. And I thank you for the way they love you, God. And I ask you today, Lord, in every one of our lives, start with me, Father. Lord, give us more of you, Lord. Let us love more like you do. Let our priorities be more like yours, our Father. And Lord, trust us, God, with the people that you're going to draw, Father. Lord, we will love them, God. We'll help them. We'll care about them, Lord. So I ask you today, everything your people have committed you today, I ask you to honor it. I ask you to walk yes. with them, talk with them, Father. And I thank you for our brother today that has joined us. I ask you to bless him.
Yes.
And I pray this week, Lord, that you would walk with your people, Father. You keep your hand upon every one of us until we come together again. And Lord, I ask you to make it obvious to each of us when we've acquired more of your nature, Lord. When we find ourselves reacting in a way that's different and we realize it's a good different, Father. Let it be encouraging to your people, God. Lord, I know that it'll make a difference. And I thank you for these exceeding great promises you've made for us today. I ask you to bless your people. Keep your hand upon them all week until we come together again for Bible study, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hey,
can I testify real quick?
Yes, sir.
Many of you know I wasn't able to make it to Wednesday night service. And I hate missing, period. But that night was scary for me. My friend, his son, Mark Rhodes, and his daughter, they both got really sick. It seemed to be food poisoning or something like that. Well, the kind of sickness I had on Wednesday was similar to that. But I was just, the whole day I was down. I was depressed. Because I'm thinking, could I end up back in the ICU? Could I be next to death again? And then I was like, you know what? No. I'm no longer the man that I was. I can Amen. Pray to God.
That's
By the end of the night, even though I still had a fever, I am sitting there with joy in my heart.
Amen.
Can't understand it, but it was there. There was love that came into me. We value too many things that are worthless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We really,
You're
right. I do.
You're right.
Me too.
Amen. Yeah.
I just thank God, though, that He put something of value in me.
Yes, sir. Sure.
That
Amen.
Love, that.
Amen.
Make sure you introduce yourself to our brother Dave if you get a chance to.
Yeah.
God bless all of you. We'll see you on Wednesday night, Lord willing, the creek don't rise.